Hello and welcome to another Outlet Online Worship Experience. We're Vince and Ashley Thomas, lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church, and we are into the month of July that
already,
we're now
I feel like our summer has flown by.
And it's just like sports. This is the second half of the year, so make the second half your best
the
half.
The best half.
And amen. God has been gracious to us, to our ministry. This entire month, Ashley and I want to come before you every single week. So every single week we're going to be live and really just changing some things up to share from our heart and to prepare us to be fully hybrid as a ministry where we're offering both online and in-person gatherings beginning Sunday, August 1st.
We are officially back.
We're officially.
That feels good to say.
Listen, that feels amazing. But, you know, throughout our time this year and throughout the past couple of months, Ashley and I have kind of weathered some storms and just have experienced some things, some heartaches, as well as some joy.
That's right.
That we had to personally take some time and just to, you know, kind of seek the face of the Lord.
Amen. And, pray, get wisdom.
You know, get healing.
Get healing,
And just from that time of reflection, this series that we're going to be sharing was birth, and it's going to take us about 4 weeks to get through this, but I believe that from what we've kind of had to learn while leading, that these are going to be elements that are going to help you in your life when things happen. And so the title of this series is I Didn't See That Coming. We're talking about the good, the bad, and the
in between.
I didn't see that coming. And quite honestly, if we, we'll just go ahead and share our personal testimony. So while we're leading the ministry at the same time, we have entered into family planning and have actively started the process of making babies.
Amen.
And what most people don't know is that Ashley received a pregnancy test that she was pregnant in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And right before Christmas, we experienced miscarriage. And so definitely didn't see that coming. And then she was had another positive pregnancy test.
Yeah, the joy of pregnancy again.
In March, and again, didn't see that coming. So that's the good. And right after Easter of this year, we experienced another miscarriage. And so that second one really rocked us to our core. And I knew that if we were going to be healthy, that we've got to take some time. And so thanks to the power of technology, thanks to an amazing team, amazing covering and support, it afforded us the opportunity to record a lot of things ahead of time.
And take a break and kind of get refreshed, you know. In the month of May, we had a lot of people come out and speak, and Vince and I got poured back into, which was awesome.
That's the beauty of our church.
Yes.
Is that we can take moments when we need them because life is going to happen to us all. We're going to experience things that are sometimes going to rock us to our core. But to have a community that's not solely dependent on one person, but we're all dependent on God, and being able to sit down, being able to, for us, kind of get away and, and hold hands together and cry together.
Seek God and receive healing.
And I think about 11 days in the month of May when we took off, we both kind of looked at each other and said, okay, we're back.
Yeah, we're ready.
And the joy of that was we then took the rest of the month to just kind of relax. And it took us from the place of complete devastation to, okay, now we can breathe. But then it brought us to a new place of overflow. And from that season, so we took all of May off, and in the month of June, that's when we blessed with a brand new facility. So God was just showing us that He is going to carry us. He is going to carry you, and He is going to exceed abundantly above all that you could ask or think if you will just trust Him with your life and the things that you don't understand. But one thing about life is that as great as things are in certain areas, there are going to be other areas of your life that are still going to require faith. And so
faith and growth.
And I mean, they're going to require us to spend time in prayer.
That's right.
I mean, and so through all of that, the enemy will try to bombard you.
Absolutely. He's the accuser of the brethren is what the Bible calls him. So in every step you take, right? He's going to throw those darts of what if in your mind. He's going to throw, oh, you're not enough, or you're not doing enough, or, you know, just the thoughts of negativity.
Or what I said, or what God said will not come to pass.
Will not come to pass. Right. He'll make you start to doubt or start to get an unbelief about things that God has promised you. Yeah.
But if you go with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, this is going to be our verse for the month. So I want you all to begin, as we talked about before, we're going to commit scriptures to memory. We're going to commit scriptures to heart, because when life presses you, what's in you is going to come out. Amen. And life is, again, going to press us all.
Yes.
So we need to have the word of God oozing out of us. We need to have the word of God. When we get hit, that's the first thing that comes to our heart. Even when we don't feel like we want to quote a Bible verse, if we want to say something, it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yes.
And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, verse 9 says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And we know in 1 John, we love him because he first loves us.
Yeah.
It says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. So our natural mind can't see. Natural eye can't see, our natural ear can't hear, our natural mind can't even dream it.
No.
But God's spirit wants to reveal to us the things that we didn't see coming, whether they're good, whether they're bad, or whether they're the in-between. And it says, for his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep
secrets. Amen.
No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit.
Yeah.
We receive God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely
given
us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer today. So, Heavenly Father, in this word, we thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to sit down with our church family, our community, those who are watching. We're so grateful, Lord, for them and their lives. So as we delve into your word, we want to bring out what your voice is saying to us. Help us to bring encouragement. Help us to strengthen those who may have questions, who may have doubts. But Lord, most importantly, help us to be a light so that your glory and your love can be seen.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so the text this week, we really want to deal with verse 9 about no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And what happens when things are going on in our life that in our eyes, we can't believe what we're seeing. In our mind, it's like, how did this take place? In our ear, we, you know, whether it's good or bad news, it's just something that we did not see coming. I want you to always understand that that is a form of disruption. And disruption breeds and triggers insecurity.
Ooh.
And today I want us to talk about insecurity and lean in now. To be honest and really take a self-assessment.
Absolutely.
That all of us, go ahead and type in.
Me too.
all of us deal with a level of insecurity from time to time. I don't care how spiritual you are. And if you say that you don't, that is a form of insecurity. Mm-hmm. But disruptions trigger insecurity. So when you're having a hard time making sense of your life, you then have to deal with the feelings that come as a result. And insecurity is, how is that defined?
Oh, man. I love what Oxford American Dictionary. And they gave us three definitions here. I'm going to read them off. The first one is not firmly fixed. You're insecure when you're not firmly assured or fixed. The second definition they gave us, lacking confidence or assurance. And the third one is uncertainty or anxiousness.
So when life takes place and things that you didn't imagine happen, these are the immediate feelings that come up. Like, I don't know if I'm as secure as I thought I was.
No, and that's true. A lot of times we don't see insecurity coming, right? It is just triggered. So when something happens, a life event happens to you, you find yourself maybe in a situation that you don't necessarily feel qualified for, right? That it comes immediately when you're faced by whatever the obstacle is. And so you really don't see it coming, but I'm so glad that God's given us a word.
And so we are going to give you the answer to today's message. So, you know, I didn't see it coming, the good, the bad, the in between. The answer to when insecurity is triggered is found in verse 10, where it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we might not understand naturally, but if we sit with what's going on, the good, the bad, the in-between long enough, then Holy Spirit is gonna give you insight into what's happening so that insecurity doesn't form your personality. Hear me on that. Insecurity will rise, but we have to make the decision to not allow the insecurity to then inform our actions. One thing that I encourage everyone to do is to go through the Word of God every year from cover to cover. Listen, just read it. There's a blessing for reading the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, y'all get 6 months to prepare. Going into January, I'm going to ask you all to read the Bible with me. And you might not be able to finish it. You might finish it 2-3 years, but we're going to start reading this word together. But as I was reading the Word of God, one thing I couldn't help but notice was how many instances of insecurity shaped trajectories of people's lives.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's found all throughout the Word of God. I mean, starting with Abraham, all the way, well, Adam and Eve, definitely. Oh, man. You can just find it all throughout the Old and New Testament.
But there are a couple ways that through looking at that, I saw how insecurity takes root.
Oh, absolutely.
And so Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, David, King David's best friend, had a son that the Bible often refers to him as Mephibosheth. Yeah. But Mephibosheth, his name was actually given to him when he was born, was Meribaal. And so he changed his name to Mephibosheth because life took place and he allowed the event of life to label him, and he began to be identified by something that was out of his control. Hear me when I say that. We cannot allow insecurities to label us, especially when they were based on events that were outside of our control. So to not have you read the entire story of Mephibosheth, when he was a child and his father's house was under attack, the one who was in charge to protect him carried him away, but dropped him, crushing his feet and causing an able body to then be handicapped. And so instead of saying that that was an event that happened, he then anchored his whole identity into something that caused him to live from a place of insecurity. So insecurity takes root based off of life situations.
Where you literally shape your life around what happened to you. I think that's so many people though. They let their past, I think I did a little video about this, but they let their past define and confine them. Where whatever event happened to me, that's now who I am. No, that's not who you are. And so many people have been victims of their past as well. Listen, there are some things we could control, right?
Yeah.
Other things we can't.
Yeah.
We couldn't control how we were born, what family we were born into, where we were born. We can't control certain things in our life, but God's goodness overrides everything that wasn't right in our life, and he can make it all back up, which
and
this, is what I
this
love.
Is this is real for us, though.
Oh, it is.
Because, you know, as we were going to the doctor post these, you know, miscarriages, your question is, what did we do wrong?
Right.
What
Why is this happening?
What you didn't know? We do right? And all the doctors are like, you both are healthy. We don't know. And so, you know, just as a husband, you know, the thought comes, you know, sometimes, you know, especially during Mother's Day, Father's Day, people ask you all kind of crazy questions.
Amen.
And, you know, my wife as a woman, that's something that weighs on her. And so one thing we had to do for each other was say, hey, this event
does not define
who you are.
No.
This thing does.
Or what we can do, or what we can have, or who we could be. It doesn't define anything.
And so instead of changing our identity to what took place, we're going to just then. And so we made a decision to become content in this season, in this journey. And God has blessed us with beautiful godchildren and the children and the youth of our community and those in which we impact. And so as we are walking through this journey of bringing a biological seed into the earth, we're enjoying the opportunity to love on the others.
Yes, yes.
And it gave us just such a level of content. The next way that insecurity takes root, I found this looking at John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist was related to Jesus and they were cousins. And so John the Baptist was a tad bit older and started his ministry a tad bit sooner than Jesus. But Jesus, when he started, he took off and people were beginning to come to John the Baptist, comparing him to Christ. And unfortunately, John the Baptist allowed the comparison to then cause insecurity to take root in his life. And so we've got life that causes insecurity to take root, and then we have comparison. And I want to talk to someone right now. Listen, stop measuring your life by looking at what someone else is doing and what someone else has. Yes. God has a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. God has a set time for your life. God is going to reveal to you by his Spirit what you're to do. And so as you're looking over the fence at someone else, I love Joe Vivian, who is, I love
Joe. One of our overseers. Yeah.
She always says, don't look over the fence. Look over the fence.
The grass always looks greener, doesn't it? Because you don't know what they had to do to till that grass. All we see is the fruit of that grass. And we just think, oh, they got that instantly. And I think that's what Instagram kind of does. Instant. Everything looks like it just happened.
Yeah.
but really, we don't know what their journey was, as they don't know what yours is.
That's right.
And you've got to trust your process, the process that God has put in front of you. And in due time, he will exalt you, and it will be better than what you saw others around you having or doing or whatever.
When you fall in love with your process, comparison no longer becomes a temptation.
That's right.
Because you're falling in love with just the day in and day out practices and day in and day out opportunities that God wants to lay before you. And so it's important for us to understand that there's a plan that God wants to reveal because it says that he's prepared a plan for those who love him. So we have to trust first in God's love for us. And that sometimes is hard to accept, especially when we feel
or experiencing, we're going through something. But, you know, I've learned about the barriers that we face, and we have a couple of barriers here, and I want to bring these up. If you're taking notes, write this down. So here are some barriers in which we could face. One is distraction. We could face a barrier of distraction. Let's just say you're going about your thing, you're in your career, you're having a little bit of success, but then, you know, something tends to happen in your personal life maybe that's caused you to not focus like you should be focusing on what you're called to do, right? The second barrier is persecution. Oh man, the opposition that will come at you for doing what God's called you to do is gonna be great. In fact, if it was easy, I would dare say it wasn't God calling you to it. There is gonna be, when God calls you to something, there is a divine opposition that's gonna come your way, but rejoice. We are to rejoice in persecution. That third barrier is disappointment, right? We're doing something, we think, oh man, it's gonna work. You know, like we've put our all into it, and then we come up short. It wasn't what we expected. It wasn't what we thought it was gonna be.
I wanna add a fourth one.
Yes.
Discouragement. Before some of the biggest blessings of our life, I've experienced the greatest level of discouragement. Where in your heart, you know that you're doing what God has asked you to do, but there is nothing naturally telling you that it's right. But I love how you have flipped the barriers.
Yes, so, you know, when I thought about these and the Lord was talking to me about these barriers that we all face, in whatever season we're in, we tend to think they're negative. We tend to think, oh, this is horrible, this is an obstacle, what is this? But I wanna tell you that barriers can work as builders.
Come on, say that again. Say that and type that in the comment section. Say it again and type it again.
Your barriers can work as builders.
Your barriers can work
as builders. Yeah, sometimes God puts these things in our way, not to take us down, not because he doesn't love us, not because, you know, he's not for us, but they're there to help build our faith. You know, they're there to help build our character. They're there to help build that, Lord, we know you're for us. And whatever situation you face, whatever valley season you find yourselves in, and those barriers are gonna come, they do come, you will know that when you go to your next season, whatever it took for you to maintain your faith in that valley season, when you get to that mountaintop, it's gonna be so great. And you're gonna use those same lessons. And one thing the Lord was just talking to me about was our faith. You know, our faith isn't revealed or developed on the mountaintop. It's developed and revealed in the valley seasons, in those seasons of your life. So while you do have the victory, yes, you do, there are gonna be times where it doesn't feel like you do, but you keep pushing, you keep going, you keep focused, and you will see that the Lord will exalt you, and it will be so much greater than what you could have ever thought or did on your own.
I love that. Barriers are builders.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to package this in, these are what I call the symptoms of a breakthrough. Like, what? How do I know a breakthrough is on the verge of happening? Well, I'm going to have a host of distractions that are going to show up. As we were preparing to get back into in-person service while we were waiting, the biggest barrier was that we didn't have the go-ahead necessary to be inside of where we had previously
worshiped. Yeah.
And so that was a divine barrier. And so in the midst of that barrier, there were then distracting forces that came up. I thought maybe we were supposed to leave the area that we're in because the doors were closing.
Which was a distraction.
And so there were properties that were coming up all over this metro Atlanta area. And you know, we had the ability to perform and be able to acquire a host of things. But there was this knowing or this peace that I had in my spirit of hold steady. And then the persecution arose.
Out of nowhere.
We'll talk next week about part two, which is entitled, And I Took That Personal. Persecution began to come up. And so the darts and the attacks on character, those began to increase. And then disappointment as well as discouragement set in because I was looking at my church wanting to be back, but just because of the vicissitudes of life, because there's a special something that happens when, whether you're virtual or whether you're in the midst, there's something that happens when we come together that strengthens
us.
But I'm just watching my congregation just kind of float on and float into different tests and trials and not have that safety and support. And as a pastor, I was feeling like I'm failing as a leader. And it was in that moment where God just continued to say, just pick yourself up. And did you do what I asked you to do? Did you do what I've called you
this
to do?
This is where your great faith kicks in because the enemy is so, he's just so sly, y'all. You know, when you are in your valley season, that's where he comes. And he comes with the thoughts. That's when the seeds of negativity, the seeds of doubt start flooding your mind. And that is when we need to literally lean in, as Vince always says, lean into the spirit.
Actually, Pastor Andrew Moman said it. I stole it.
Well,
that's
amen.
The only time
Thank
I'm
you.
Giving you credit. The only time I'm giving you credit.
Yeah, lean in. Thank you, Pastor Moman. Lean in, right, into what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I love what Ephesians 3, and then we can go to 16.
Yeah, Ephesians 3 and 16.
Yeah, it says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. And that's what we're going to need to push through those valleys is inner strength from the spirit. And this is not going to be anything that was going to happen naturally. But this is going to be all through the spirit. It says, and then in verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Look at what happens. As you trust, your roots will grow down into God's love. And when your roots start to grow down, it's going to keep you strong through whatever the season is. It's going to keep you strong. And it says, and in verse 18, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. When distractions come, you know, the enemy's biggest tactic is to make you think God doesn't love you.
That's his only tactic.
That's all he wants to do.
That's his only. If you can take away his only punch, you can weather any storm.
That's right. And going deeper in God's love will give you that strength. It will give you the strength needed to keep going. When all hell breaks loose, when adversity is in your life, it's that inner peace, that inner strength that will keep you.
Amen. So let's come together and pray right now. We want to pray for you. I mean, what I love about the power of technology is that while we're gathering right now online, and some of you may be traveling today, wherever you are in the world, you're joining right now with a body of our community that's gathering in person at King Middle School for, the final Sunday.
I know.
Outdoors for our Sunday
fun day.
And we're going to all come together right now in the form in prayer. I really sense that we just need to pray to encourage your heart. If you can weather the storms of distraction, of persecution, of disappointment and discouragement, you will then on the other side of that see the very thing in which you didn't even know you were praying in the spirit about. And so join us today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. You are so awesome. As we kicked off this series of I didn't see that coming, when life throws curveballs, whether good, whether bad, or in between, we're going to trust in your spirit right now for those who are listening, for those who are watching. They may be having questions, maybe not understanding where they are. God, you're going to be with them to remind them of your love, to allow their roots to go deep into the rich soil in which you've planted them in by your grace. Lord, as we are going and doing what you've called us to do, help us to see your light. Help us to see your plan in all your ways, Father. We pray for every person who may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ right now, as they're making a decision, as it says in Romans 10:13, to call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. Right now, as they're there, they're saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I want to return. Jesus, I want to grow in my relationship with you. You've heard all of those prayers. You've answered them in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you prayed with us at all, there's a number coming up on screen, 770-667-4899. Where you can let us know and just say, hey, I prayed with you. Yeah. My wife and I, our team, would love to follow up with you to ensure that we're walking alongside you as you're taking this journey of life. Well, today is 4th of July, and so happy 4th. I know
happy 4th.
In this season, it's a tad bit controversial, but here's the truth. There is no true freedom without Christ. Mm-hmm. And so as we're reminded of freedoms, as we're reminded of still work that needs to be done, mm-hmm. may we rest in who Jesus Christ is.
Yes.
If you desire to partner with the Outlet community, right now is our time where we receive today's offering. Just some things that are going on inside of our community as we're raising today's offering. We have started now our drive for back to school. So God has caused us to now be in a brand new facility in the Grant Park area. We're in a partnership with Upstairs Atlanta and beginning in-person services on Sunday, August 1st. But what that does is it allows us to expand our reach into the community and reach more students mm-hmm. and more families for the kingdom of God, and work with other organizations and work with other churches as well to do just that. And if you desire to be a part of today's offering, you can help us to get ready for the opening. We're going to have to buy new banners, signs,
yeah.
Equipment, you know, just you name it. I mean, we've really taken it up a notch. But as well, this month, we're still going to be committed to blessing hundreds of families yeah. with school supplies so they get a great start back into the school year. And so with everything that's going on, I can't thank you all enough for mm-hmm. your faithfulness.
Yes.
It's because of you that we're able to do what we're doing today. And if you desire to give, there are three ways to give. You can give at theoutletcommunity.com/give. And then the page will open up and you'll get some information about our accountability, our checks and balances, you know, just so you can see that we're very transparent with about our resources. You can also give by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC, and a link will be sent back to you. And we also have Zelle set up for those who are more comfortable using Zelle. And our email address that's connected to Zelle is give@theoutletcommunity.com. We want to invite you back next Sunday. As my wife and I have said, this month is going to be unique. Anything else you want to say to him?
No, I'm just glad to be with you all this Sunday. I pray you have a wonderful rest of your day. Do brunch, do barbecue, whatever you do. Love you guys.
We'll see you soon.